And good day to you. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. Today we've been joined by Dr. Stephen Vasek, who heads Maysville Community and Technical College. And Dr. Vasek, thanks for spending some time with us.
Chuck, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, obviously the big news here in Rowan County is the new campus center that opened up in January, and I know a lot of people are excited about it, and you would be one of those people.
Oh, I'm tremendously excited. First of all, it's a tribute to our community. It's something that we've needed for some time. It was an opportunity to expand much of what we've already been doing here, not only in our career and technical programs, but also in our general education offerings. It's an opportunity for us, because this new campus is going to be located at the industrial park, it's an opportunity to really work even more closely with business and industry, which we think is very important. And so I think this is a win for everybody. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how it continues to grow. We're now moving into our second phase of the new campus with another building that we hope to have come online in fall of 2019. And so, I'm excited about it, and I'm excited for our community, really.
Well, I've talked to Russ Ward, who is your chief operating officer and also heads up the Round campus, and he's so excited about it because this facility includes the Center for Advanced Manufacturing, which people think of factory jobs, and they think of, you know, Lucy and Ethel in the factory with the chocolates and all that stuff in the conveyor belt. But now factory jobs are becoming high tech, and you have to be well educated to do some of those jobs. And I guess another example of that would be Brady Industries' plans to put the new plant over in the East Park Industrial Center. They'll be paying people $70,000 a year. They'll be working on computers and things of that nature. And you don't pay people $70,000 a year to put chocolates on a conveyor belt.
No, and I think people have – we have done a disservice to a lot of individuals where we've said you have to get this advanced degree or that advanced degree in order to get the high-paying jobs. That's not really true. I mean, particularly today, in a two-year program in the right area, you can come out making 50 and 60, and as you said, 70, even more than that every single year, particularly in areas like industrial maintenance where you are doing robotics and instrumentation and pneumatics and hydraulics and a lot of these things that are so important to the industries that are coming to our area. Most people, maybe not so much here because in Morehead we have the Space Science Center here at MSU, but a lot of places don't realize just how significant and important aerospace is to the state of Kentucky. We were number two last year in exports across the country of all states. And I think that's going to continue to grow, and we've made a real commitment across the Commonwealth to trying to grow this industry. And that's high tech, but a lot of those jobs – To build composite wings, to build the machines that go into these, to repair the instrumentation, that's going to come with people who have technical backgrounds, who have these two-year degrees. Maybe some have gone on and gotten engineering degrees, but they started with us first because you have to have that boots on the ground mentality in order to work in those industries.
Well, it's an indicator. When you talked about Morehead State Space Science Center and you talk about the Center for Advanced Manufacturing, when we talk about a resurgence of the economy of northeastern Kentucky and eastern Kentucky in general, it's going to take those types of places to train the workers needed for the aerospace industry that you talked about. Brady is a good example of that.
It is, and we're going to have to think differently in a couple ways. One is the days of the large company coming in that had 1,000 or more employees that was going to set up shop for 50 or 75 years and produce widgets. Those days are really gone because the industries have become so much more nimble, number one, that they're changing constantly. And so you have to be at the top of your game when it comes to your skill set. But also what we're going to see is a lot of industries coming in that are second and third tier support industries for a Brady or for a Toyota or for one of these other companies. And they're going to have 30 and 40 and 50 employees, but they're going to need very, very high tech and high skilled folks who have a very specific background. And that is exactly what we're doing in Space Science Center here, and then in our college, in the Center for Advanced Manufacturing. The robotics area, for instance, it's just remarkable. I've been in there a couple times and gotten some demonstrations from one of our faculty members, and every time he gets so engaged and excited about it, and an hour will be gone, and I'll look up and I'll go, I've got to go, because I just don't have time to listen anymore. But it's so exciting what we can do now and what we're training these students to do.
I know you're aware of Mike Rowe, who hosted the program Dirty Jobs, and he's been out there talking about the so-called blue-collar jobs. What a need for there is for these people to get into those types of roles, as you talked about, making really good money that people don't really know that they're making really good money. And electricians, welders, plumbers, carpenters, people who work in HVAC or auto tech, stuff like that. And you're working to train those types of people, and there's a real need for them out there right now.
You know, so many of our programs, the graduates come out already employed. They walk right into these jobs. You mentioned HVAC. We graduated last night in Mount Sterling. We graduated our Rowan and our Montgomery campuses, and we had a good number of those were HVAC graduates. Those guys all have jobs. I shouldn't say guys. Those guys and girls, because there are boys and girls in that program, men and women, they're going out to go to work right away. And they're going to make really good money. I mean, if you've ever had to call an AC person in the middle of summer and try to get them to come to your house, you're going to know how much money that's going to cost you. And so you're exactly right. I remember when I graduated from college myself with a degree in English, that was very good, and I could see where I was going to go with that. But getting a job coming right out of school, there wasn't a whole lot of people who were lined up at my door for me to be an Englisher. And so, you know, I went to work for a bank for a few years before I went back to graduate school. And other people who had a very specific background were able to go into their fields and move ahead while I was still sort of behind trying to catch back up. And that's still true today. And I'm excited to see these folks get into the workforce. It's going to continue to support us locally. Again, if you ever needed a plumber, we're the ones who put those people to work. Carpenters, we put those people to work. And I can guarantee you, if you haven't had that need lately, try to call a plumber. I know where I live, there are about four plumbers in town, and they're booked up for about 3 weeks in advance. So unless it's an absolute emergency, and you can't, again, you have to have some real training to do those jobs. You can't just walk in and be a plumber. I know that. It cost me $700 to fix a mistake I made trying to fix some plumbing in my house. So I know that you can't just walk in there and without knowing what you're doing. And again, very exciting for us to be able to put these people to work.
What's the key in your mind, because you're training these people, how do you get young people interested in these fields? Because they don't traditionally think about it, at least not right now. I mean, they think about going to school and they think about a so-called white-collar job of some form or another. But they sometimes, and they are forgetting about these types of opportunities. How do you get them interested?
Well, one thing we have to do is we have to win hearts and minds of parents and guidance counselors, because as young people, as 18 and 19-year-olds who really don't always know what they want to do, the guidance they get from others is going to help steer them in the right direction. And a lot of times people have been told by mom and dad, you have to go get a four-year degree at X college or X institution. And that is true for some people. They do need that. I'm absolutely a big proponent of that. I mean, part of our mission is the transfer piece of the mission. But by the same token, there are a lot of people who don't need to do that and who waste a lot of money and a lot of time and end up doing something that they could have gotten trained for in a much shorter time and gone to work and made money. I went and talked to a group of students at Lewis County High School. Their superintendent and principal were kind enough to ask me to come in and talk to their senior and junior classes. And so I got to talk to all of those students and share with them some numbers, and I don't have them with me now, but I had some statistics that showed the three categories of jobs in Kentucky, what we call the high-skill, middle-skill, and low-skill jobs. And if you look at both the high-skill and low-skill jobs, those are the ones that are advanced degrees, and then low-skill are those that basically are high school and less than a credential at post-secondary. There are more people for the jobs that are available. So you're fighting other people for those three jobs, and there's seven of you, versus the middle skill jobs that we're talking about now that are those, you know, skilled workmen, the carpenters, the HVAC, the diesel mechanics, all these people. Those jobs, there are more jobs than there are people. And so to me, when I can show them that, and I can show them, hey, look, what do you want to do? You want to go in the healthcare field, nursing, physical therapy assistant, which we're hoping to eventually have a program in that, EMT, some others, healthcare. You can go very quickly in those fields in 2 years or less and be employed. And they start looking at that and they go, well, I think I would enjoy being a an ambulance on an ambulance service, or I would be enjoy going and doing fire science somewhere. That would be good. They see how much it pays. And I saw a lot of eyes open that day by just talking about those middle skill jobs.
When I was going to high school back in the days of Fred Flintstone, I guess, if you want to call it that, we had shop in our school.
Right.
For people who are not on that traditional college track, there was automotive and there were other areas where they would go, and these young people would go into some of these job fields that we discussed, like welding and auto tech and other things of that nature. Do we need to get back to doing that more at the high school level?
I think we do, but I think the training has changed so much. Back in the day when you and I would have gone to a shop class, the welding they would have done would have been basic stick welding. It would have been very simplistic. I built this dustpan. Well, great. Super. You know, today, you've got people who are going to work welding on the pipelines in North Dakota and Colorado and Texas. That's a very, very high-skilled job. Pipe welding is very hard to do. Underwater welding on some of these maritime areas, that's very specialized work that pays a lot of money. But it's not just taking a stick welder and going out there and going shush and firing it up. You can't do that anymore. Same thing is true with a number of these different areas that back in the day we would have looked at and said, well, that's just a dirty job, to quote Micro. That's just a dirty job. Nobody really wants that. Well, that's not true anymore. If you were to go into an automotive place, I mean, if you've been to the auto shop lately at one of your dealerships, you're not going to walk into some place where guys are going to walk out with grease all over them. You might see one of those guys, but as a general rule, they're going to walk out and pretty much clean clothes because they put everything on a computer and raised it up, and it told them exactly what to do and where to go and how to do it, and they have special tools, and they don't even get their hands dirty. And, again, we pay them a whole lot more now than we would have paid 35 years ago.
Well, so, if those are dirty jobs, I'll take the dirty paycheck that goes with it.
Absolutely, absolutely, because they're in demand. They can go out and command a price.
What's going on at some of your other campuses? We've talked about what's happening at the Round campus with the new building and this, that, and the other thing. But I know you've got a lot of other good things happening at your main campus and your other facilities.
We do. And, I think right now our focus is sort of twofold. Obviously, all four of our campuses, we want to see them do well and be successful. But we've really focused in, first of all, on getting the new campus here in Round County up and going. And then we're also working on building our Montgomery campus in Mount Sterling because that's our newest of the four. That campus, when it started, right as I kind of came here, it's hard to believe. I still feel like a newbie, but I've been here 4 years now. But when I first got here, we were occupying one floor of the facility we're in now, had just a few faculty and staff. We were thinking we would have maybe a couple hundred students in the first 4 or 5 years. And we're closer to 600 or 700 now, and I see that continuing to grow. And we've added programs. We're continuing to add programs. In the fall, we're adding plumbing there. We're adding some night welding there. We're looking at trying to add a what we call Kentucky Fit. It's kind of like our Kentucky FAME program, and these programs, these acronyms, really are referring to learn and earn kind of jobs. They are programs we've specifically set up with industries where companies hire an individual, and those people go to work 3 days at that particular company, and then they come to school 2 days a week. They get paid for the jobs they're doing, and then they come 2 days a week. And then when they're finished with that, they've got not only experience working for those companies, but they've got their education. They're ready to go right in and go to work.
Makes them more marketable.
Much more marketable. And with Kentucky Fit, which we're going to be doing this fall at the Montgomery campus, it's going to deal with cybersecurity and some networking and some installation kinds of things. But it's really going to help people who are interested in doing not just the plugging a cable into a computer someplace, but actually doing some coding, doing some cybersecurity, protecting companies against attacks, which we know right now is a big deal. And it's really going to give them a very broad, marketable skill going into IT. And we've already been talking with a number of companies there in that area, and we're going to broaden it because we've always tried to, when we've opened these new programs, reached out. Our service area for MCTC is huge. We serve all the way from, you know, up in Bracken and Harrison County all the way down to Wolf County and over to Morgan County. So we've got a pretty broad little footprint there we're trying to serve in Kentucky. And so we're reaching out to companies in all that area to take advantage of this.
Well, it speaks to something I was about to ask you about mm-hmm. in the sense that when you talk about the educational mission of mm-hmm. community and technical colleges,
right.
it's constantly evolving and continues to, and you're doing that right now.
It is. And I think that's what has always been so important to me. You know, when I started out, just, you know, as way of background, you know, I was going to be history faculty. That was what I was going to do for my life. That was my background, my training. I wanted to teach history. Well, I happened to take a job at a community college, and I thought I would teach there for a year or two. And to be honest, I'd never been to a community college at that point in time because they really didn't have anywhere I came from. And I thought, well, I'll do this for a little while, but then I'll move on and I'll go to a big school someplace or a prestigious school someplace. And honestly, it took me about 3 weeks of meeting with students and seeing real people and real lives being changed. And I knew that this is where I needed to be. I knew we made a difference that even though I loved my alma mater, I went to, and I hold my hand over my heart as I say this, the University of Alabama. I do love the university. It was great for me. But I also saw how impersonal it was, and I saw how hard it was unless you were motivated to be successful there because you could get lost really, really easily. And when I went to community college, that just didn't happen. And we have, I think, a unique mission among all post-secondary, well, even educational institutions, because even K-12, I don't think has quite as broad a mission as we do. We really are asked to be all things to all people. As an open mission institution, we don't have any requirements for entrance. We work with, you know, kids' college, so we're working with 4- and 5- and 6-year-old kids all the way up to these grandparents who are coming back to be trained on how to use their smartphones. And everything in between, from adult education to, you know, career and technical education, transfer education, all of these pieces all come together. And we're so centric when it comes to locality. We want to be focused on our communities. And so I've seen that change some over the years, but we've also remained true to what we started with, which was worrying about our local communities. What do our business and industry community needs? What are the needs of the local municipalities and our counties, the high schools we serve? Again, the service organizations, how can we be of service? And so I feel very blessed to have worked. Again, if you'd asked me, 35 years ago, will you be working at a community college? And I said, you're crazy. That's you're nuts. And today I honestly can't see myself doing anything else. I had opportunities at one point in time to go to some four-year institutions, and I chose not to. And not that I don't believe in the four-year mission, because I do. I think we have a purpose in all of what we do in education. But I love what I do, and I'm very fortunate and blessed in that respect.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. Absolutely. Every day.
Again, our guest today on the front page is Dr. Stephen Vasek from Maysville Community and Technical College. We're going to pause for just a moment here on Front Page. Come back with more right after this.
There are many ways to connect with Morehead State Public Radio. Log on to WMKY.org for enhanced regional news, on-demand audio and video, breaking news from NPR, and information on your favorite programs. Get links to Facebook and Twitter while you listen to our live broadcast online, or download mobile apps from NPR and take 90.3 FM with you everywhere. Connect with your community and Morehead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
Welcome back to Front Page. I'm Chuck Meraz again. Dr. Stephen Vasek is joining us. He is the head of Maysville Community and Technical College. And you spoke a moment ago. I wanted to follow up on this point when you
sure.
talked about the need for four-year institutions. And what right now do you see as the synergy between community and technical colleges and four-year schools such as Morehead State?
Well, I think we're doing a better job than we've done before. I think in the Commonwealth, we have some very good articulation agreements that have been put in at the state level so that if students transfer from a public community college to a public institution, a post-secondary four-year institution, they're going to have the ability to transfer their courses as they might not have had 30 or 40 years ago when we had a little more trouble with trying to match up particular courses. It was much more individualistic. Now it's much more in blocks and it's much more standardized. But what I've been really pleased with, and MSU is a great example of this, they've worked with us in our career programs especially to find ways for folks who are in some of these advanced manufacturing programs to get baccalaureate degrees in technical education and be able to continue to move along, because though you might get a degree in industrial maintenance and you might be a great technician on the floor of a factory putting together, you know, some new piece of machinery, you may have aspirations to one day be a supervisor or one day be, you know, the plant manager. To do that, you're going to need some additional education beyond just the technical piece. And so we have these agreements to allow our students to transfer to many of the four-year institutions and continue their education even in some of these technical areas. That would have been unheard of 20 years ago. It just didn't happen. And so I've been very pleased to see that piece growing. Obviously, with our transfer classes, we have students who come in and take the first 2 years and then transfer on to a four-year institution. And I've not seen there be a problem with them having those courses transfer. In fact, both of my sons who are in college, well, I shouldn't say that. One just graduated, actually, this last week. But my sons took classes with MCTC, and they both were able to transfer those classes on to four-year institutions and do very, very well with those.
How much of a state budget cut did you take? There were cuts for higher education across the board, and how much did you take?
Well, that's an interesting question. Like everyone else, we took a 6.5% or 6.25% cut across the board in our state appropriations. We were very fortunate in a couple pieces. We also thought we were going to take a big hit with the increase in the retirement contribution for KERS and KTRS, because we still have a number of employees that were grandfathered in from years ago who were under those systems. And so we were expecting to take, you know, in the hundreds of thousands of dollars additional hit on that. Thankfully, that didn't come about for this first year of the biennium, so that saved us a good bit of money. And then the legislature was very thoughtful, I guess, in putting in $31 million in that post-secondary pool at the end. KCTCS got its piece, which was about $6 million and change and that. And then they split that among the 16 colleges, and so we got our piece of that. By pulling all of those pieces together, it basically offset our 6.25 cut. So for us, even though we didn't get ahead, and really we're still a little behind because obviously some fixed costs continue to rise in IT and in utilities and other things, those fixed costs continue to rise. However, we're going to basically not have to lose any personnel, which we're very pleased at that. We won't be gaining any, but we basically held the line for this coming year. So that's a very positive thing for us.
We've got about a minute and a half left.
Sure.
At the same time, does it make it more challenging to move forward with a lot of the programs you want to move forward with?
Oh, absolutely. You don't have the capital to just do everything you want to do. And I've told people we have to be very intentional about how we spend our money. You know, we can't be frivolous. We can't start a program and gamble on it. It has to be a pretty sure thing. We have to have a reason for why we do what we do. I can't afford to lose $100,000, $200,000 anywhere. And so, yeah, it hinders us. It makes us less nimble, which I think is something that we've always wanted to be more of. But by the same token, I know across the state we're all struggling with these budget issues, and I'm hopeful that the legislature will have an opportunity to deal with some tax reform and maybe come up with some new revenue streams that will help us down the road.
And now a word from your sponsor. If you want to go ahead and give your website address so people can check out Maysville Community and Technical College.
That would be www.maysville.kctcs. I have to have my prompt here or else I can't remember what it is.
You know, they use cue cards and TV. It's okay.
That's right. www.maysville.kctcs.
Dr. Vasek, thanks so much for coming over and joining us today on the front page. Dr. Stephen Vasek, the head of Maysville Community and Technical College on Front Page today. I'm your host, Chuck Meraz. See you next time.